It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And I hope your Lent is off and running and you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, but also doing it with joy, right? We're not supposed to look all sad and depressed about our Lenten sacrifice. Hi, welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm Will Hampton, your host. This show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also 21ology.com. IndyCar racing is off and running. Did you catch it last weekend? Yeah, let the road to Indianapolis begin. The Grand Prix of St. Petersburg is in the books. Joseph Newgarden is our first winner of the year. Joseph wins that race. And then Scott Dixon was second. Will Power was third. Some other notables, Marco Andretti finished 13th. Tony Kanaan, 15th. Ryan Hunter-Reay, 23rd. So it's great to see racing going, because even when it's a little chilly, if they're racing, again, you know that the summer is just around the corner. The Indy 500, if you don't know yet, is scheduled for Sunday, May 26th this year. So let the road to Indy begin. Basketball tournament time. Now, we're taping this show earlier in the week, so it's kind of hard sometimes during tournament time because some of the games are happening, well, after we do this show, but before you hear it. The Big Ten tournament is underway. 6 o'clock Friday, I can tell you this, Purdue is the number 2 seed, and they have a game at 6 o'clock on Friday. They are the co-Big Ten champs. Did you see the pictures? I thought it was really, really classy. Matt Painter, this year's head coach, took a picture with the new Big Ten championship trophy, and he brought Gene Cady. Old Gene Cady, play hard, play hard. And he was there with Matt Painter, and they took a picture together to celebrate the success that is Purdue basketball. IU goes into this thing as the number 9 seed, and the Big East tournament, Butler is also a number 9 seed. The Selection Sunday, get your NCAA brackets ready. This Sunday, this weekend, is Selection Sunday. Well, we're just getting started. We're going to talk more basketball with head coach Todd Licklider. He's our basketball analyst here on Catholic Sports Weekly, and we'll have him join us next when we continue.
Has the weather this winter been getting you down? Let us help you look toward warmer weather and sunshine. Mark your calendar for Tuesday, May 21st, for the Catholic Radio Indy annual golf outing. This year, we're moving to a great new course, Ironwood Golf Club in Fishers. It's not too early to get your foursome together. You can register online at CatholicRadioIndy.org. We rely on generous underwriting as well. If you're interested in underwriting or being a whole sponsor, call Valerie at 317-870-8400.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Will Hampton. This show, underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also the Elam Group, ELAMUSA.com. As advertised and as promised, it's my pleasure to welcome our basketball analyst here in Catholic Sports Weekly, the very own Todd Licklider. Coach Licklider, how are you doing today?
Well, I'd like to still be playing, as you know, Will, but I'm doing well. We got our first year under our belt down here at Evansville, and it's really nice to be back in the gym and connected with a team and all. So,
yeah.
Thanks for asking. How are you?
Doing well. Always good. You know, we're in the middle of I'm doing this thing called Exodus 90. Where this is day 50 of a 90-day, like, fast and more athletic, you know, working out more and not eating so eating so many Oreo cookies and all that stuff. So, hey, I've lost 14 pounds in 50 days.
Hey,
that's not bad.
Congratulations.
And you're saying that's a lawn chair off to Queen Mary. Is that what you're saying?
Not at all.
But as we said, Todd Licklider, our basketball analyst, assistant basketball coach at Evansville with the Evansville Aces under Walter McCarty. You guys just wrapped up your first year. Sure, you didn't get the wins that you wanted, but just give me a quick assessment of first just Walter and how he did in his first year as a college basketball coach. What's he saying? What's he feel about it?
Well, you know, part of the reason he brought me on was experience. So from my experience, I think he did a great job. You know, he set the tone. He established, you know, his standards and values, and it's just a great working environment. The players are going to really flourish in it because he treats everybody with such respect, and he's got a great basketball mind. He's been around. I mean, he played in the NBA for 10 years. Mm-hmm. He's coached, played under Rick Pitino, coached with Rick Pitino. He coached with Brad Stevens, Jim O'Brien. So he's got an incredible background, and just on top of that, just one of the most terrific people I've ever met. So I think we're headed in the right direction. As you said, we obviously didn't win as many as we'd like to, but I think it's probably a little bit underrated how hard it is to get something established, to get everybody on the same page. We had really good, nice young men, mm-hmm. good people, great community, everything. And still with that, it's just new. And it's not like you inherit a player that's not doesn't have any habits, good or bad. They all play a certain way, so then you have to adjust those, and that just takes time.
Yeah, it sure does. And right now, you guys are, like you said, you're out of the tournament, eliminated from the conference tournament, and not going to play any more basketball from this point on. But for this season, what now is it's not really recruiting time, but what do you do now? Do you just go watch kids play, or what's kind of the next step for your program?
Yeah, right now we're following up on some recruits that we have. We actually had four players redshirting this year set out. Oh. So, you know, you're kind of ahead of the curve on that. And all those guys were, three of them were transfers, one from Pitt, one from Coastal Carolina, one from Kansas. And then we have a young man who's a freshman that will be eligible next year. And so they're all capable players. And they've been able to practice with us. And then you add on top of that the returners. We lost three seniors, all of them, you know, outstanding young men. So we'll just have to, you know, I think there was somebody who said you have to replace the irreplaceable mm-hmm. as you move forward in this business. But like I said, I think we've got the right foundation set. And then the NCAA is allowing us a lot more time now than when I originally got in. So we'll have 4 hours on court this spring to use however we want, and Walter will set that, and we'll be together some, and then they'll be in the weight room and hopefully hitting the studies really hard.
Yeah. We're talking with Todd Licklider, former coach at Butler and Iowa, at Marion, and now assistant coach at Evansville. And this weekend is Selection Sunday. When they go through that, they have the I remember sitting in your house watching with Butler. Where are you going to go? Or are you getting in? And there was a couple disappointments, but most of the time it was a pretty positive party, and you guys celebrated. Take us through that day. What that means to some of the mid majors, especially that maybe are sitting on the bubble right now, waiting and hoping and wondering if they're going to get in.
From what I understand, it's just gotten more difficult to get an at-large from the mid-major. We got two at-larges when I was at Butler, and that's a little bit nerve-wracking. You don't know you're in, and that's what you were alluding to. The first year, I thought we had as good a team as we had during my tenure, at least at Butler, and maybe, you know, in the history, and we didn't get in.
Yeah.
And I think we won more games on the road than any team that season.
That was like a 24. Really wasn't that like a 24 win team or something like that?
Oh yes, yeah. Had an outstanding year,
yeah.
And just terrific team. And I didn't get in, and it's painful. That hurts.
Yeah. You were a little mad. I remember that. You were a little mad at it.
Well, I was disappointed. I thought our guys deserved it.
And, yeah,
you
sure
know,
did.
More than anything. And then you've got the seniors, Ryland Hangey and Thomas Jackson, who had great careers, and Scott Robish,
yeah.
And now they don't get to go. Now we did go to the NIT. We won one game and then played out Syracuse, and I think the NIT is a good tournament, and I think it's interesting now. I was just telling somebody the other day. Used to, like my second to last year at Butler, we won 20, went to NIT. We thought that was a good, we had a good season.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're satisfied. We want to go to the NCAA tournament, but now is you feel like it's all or none, and
mm-hmm.
There's going to be teams that have pretty good years that don't get to go.
And
but you know, every year there's four teams or so that you could make a case for that don't get in.
Yeah.
And that's painful. But it is so much fun to have your name drawn and know where you're going. And it doesn't matter. They could, you know, announce you're playing the Lakers and you'd fear and scream because you're just so excited to go.
In Boise, Idaho. They could send you to Boise and you'd be happy.
It doesn't matter where. That's right.
Hey,
Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah, wherever they send you, as long as you're in. Hey, tell me a little bit about, this time of year. Some people call it silly season, where coaches who didn't make it or that maybe they've had a few years where potentially there's a job change. How difficult a time is that, because they're not sure and they're trying to move forward with their programs, but they're not sure.
And
how do they handle
that? They have families.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you from experience, Will, the hardest thing is your staff. When I was at Iowa and they let, one of the hard things is it's announced, not very many times do you lose your job and everybody in the world knows.
Yeah.
But in this particular field, it comes across the ticker on ESPN and it's pretty painful. Coaches are competitive and most of them, I would say, are striving to do the right thing for their school. And so you're putting your heart and soul in it, and I knew we struggled and there was that possibility, but until it happens, you hang on to some hope. But the big thing is, like I was saying, I knew I'd be okay, but I was very concerned about my assistant coaches and that they would land on their feet, because they had families and they worked diligently and trusted me and went there. So then you start, as a head coach, you start really working to try to find them something and help them. And I was fortunate. All my guys landed on their feet. And now one of them's been Division II Coach of the Year, national coach, LaValle's at Butler. And so, that's kind of what you go through.
Yeah.
And then people are watching. And it's so prominent and so just accepted that I think it's impersonal.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that, hey, this is very personal for these families. And, and you think, well, people deserve it. I think about this. I don't think I've had staffs. I've been an administrator per se, direct. I've never fired anyone.
Yeah.
I don't think. And you have some of these administrators that fire people regularly.
Yeah.
And I don't know, to me, my job was always as a boss or an administrator was to really help the person under me to do what we needed them to do. So, and I've had some great bosses, though, I'll tell you, John Perry and Barry Collier, Walter McCarty. I hate to even, I tell you what, I had two ADs in high school that were incredible, and Larry Treadwell and Denny Leathers. So I'm a very fortunate guy. I think I've told you this one before. I said, I'm the luckiest guy you know, and I don't even know who you know.
So, I'm talking with Todd Licklider. He's our basketball analyst and assistant coach at Evansville. And like you said, it's very personal, but you also know that what you're trying to do is your faith comes into this, doesn't it? You have faith that God will take care of you and will take care of your assistants. But God always expects us also to work and put our wheel to the grindstone and put our shoulder to the grindstone, and keep working. But faith and understanding where you are and what's good for you and your family is very important, I'm sure, isn't it?
I totally agree, and I think that if you have faith, then what you're seeking is contentment in all circumstances and thankfulness. And so when, people say when one door closes, another one opens, but you have to have some discernment and realize, what went wrong, why it happened, and be able to grow, really. That's kind of what life's about anyway. You want to grow in your faith and grow in your abilities. And I've heard before, and I think I agree, that very little growth comes without challenge. And so I think it really, athletics is, the epitome of that. You're challenged all the time, and you don't think about it, but every night that you play, there's going to be a loser. Mm-hmm. So it's not like somebody, you know, that's what I always tell them. Hey, the guy on the other side, he's good too, and the teams are good. And so it's great when you have somebody like a Barry Collier that can evaluate how you're doing. Not totally, everybody wants to win and you're striving to win, but sometimes you're getting ready to win. And you need to be able to see the progress or see something in what this program's doing, and not just have faith, but have the knowledge to conduct an evaluation not solely based on wins and losses.
Yeah, you're right.
Eventually, you got to win, and that's the whole thing. But, you know, you're not going to win if you're not sound, you don't work hard, and all that. But you can be sound and also work hard and not have the success you want for a little while.
Yeah.
While you're getting ready. So anyway.
Yeah, success is sometimes different. You measure it differently, too. Like, you and I both, I covered you when I was in the media, when you were with Butler. But then I feel very blessed that we got a chance to work together, if only for a brief time, at Marion, because it kind of solidified. It solidified our friendship. And that's kind of
right.
What this business does kind of spawn. It spawns life-lasting friendships, and that's a win regardless of what happens, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And I think you know, if you're going to be a true friend, you've got to be trustworthy and be who you say you are, and all that. And you find those things out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And sometimes the media can be tough. You know, you're called to get the story.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the story's not all, you know, it's not a positive.
Yeah.
But I always had confidence in you way your approach was that you were going to be fair, you were going to be thorough, and that you were trustworthy.
Well, nice.
When we got to Marion, I mean, it was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Yep. I think we have similar visions and values, and then we got to work together.
Yeah.
And so... I second that.
Yeah.
It was a good experience for me.
Sure was for me, too. Thanks, Coach. Hey, real quickly, as we go into the big dance, the top five teams in the national rankings in college basketball, they've got Gonzaga up there, Virginia, North Carolina, Duke, and Tennessee. At least that's the way it looked earlier in the week. What about the SEC, the Southeastern Conference? A Tennessee considered a team that could win the national championship. That used to be a football school.
Well,
what's going on there?
Too, you know what's great about the NCAA and the tournament is you don't have to be better than the team you're playing every night. You only have to be better than them that night, one time. And that's the excitement part. But when you go to the NBA and you're best of seven,
yeah,
a lot of times, if they've got a little more talent than eventually it kind of went out, you can counter that in the NCAA. And so to pick, I've never been very good at picking in advance. If people love doing it, they're filling out the brackets and all, but I'm always thinking, well, what are the style of play? The matchups are huge, and you've got to really study that. So it's I think there's a reason why it's so well-liked, and I agree. I think Tennessee has played really well. Rick Barnes has done a great job there. I love Virginia because of Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
And the way they do things, and, they stayed with him. And so it's a fun time.
Yeah,
and
sure is.
I'll tell you, once your players, that's what, we're on spring break, and I told them, enjoy this last spring break because we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to be getting ready to win and play. And once you do that, there's nothing like it.
Well, good. Well, Coach, thank you so very much for your time, and enjoy your spring break, but get back to work.
Will do.
All right.
I'll see you soon, I hope.
I hope real soon. Thank you, Coach.
All right, take care.
That's Todd Licklider, a basketball analyst and now an assistant coach at Evansville. We're taking a break. We'll be back with the rest of Catholic Sports Weekly after this.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof and your building investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly, this show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also 21ology.com. Hey, don't forget, golfers, the annual Catholic Radio Indy Golf Outing is set for Tuesday, May 21st at Ironwood Golf Club in Fishers. Registration will begin that morning at 10 a.m. There is also a Mass. That's what I love about this golf outing. You get to go to Mass, and then you get to tee it up. It's a lot of fun. If you want to sign up, call us here at Catholic Radio Indy, 317-870-8400, or go on the website at catholicradioindy.org and get ready to tee it up for the annual golf outing on May 21st. Well, each and every week we do an update on Exodus 90, and it's my pleasure to welcome Father Michael Bauer from Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville. Father Bauer, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
I know.
Thanks for having me on.
No, it's great to have you on again, and we the day we're recording this is officially day 50 of 90. We're 8 weeks into it now. How are you feeling? I know you're doing it too. I noticed the other day when you were there helping with the reconciliation, it was a First Communion Jesus Day retreat. You were there. You look like you've lost some weight. You're a little thinner there, Father.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how many pounds I've lost, but I definitely lost a couple of belt buckles. So, resisting all those temptations. There were a lot of cookies there at the Jesus Day retreat.
Sure
so,
were.
Had to stay strong.
Yep, had to stay strong. And for people who are maybe just catching up and saying, what is Exodus 90? Can you give us the quick elevator speech of what we're all going through here now, 50 days into 90?
Absolutely, yeah. So, a little bit of history of Exodus 90. It was started by a priest of our diocese, Father Brian Dorr. I'm out at Mount St. Mary's Seminary. And basically what it is, it's a 90-day ascetical program in which you're a part of a brotherhood. So 90 days of ascetical practices, so no sweets, no eating in between meals, you take cold or lukewarm showers, you fast from forms of technology that aren't necessary, and you commit time for prayer every day and for meeting with fraternity once a week to share graces and thorns. So that's kind of Exodus 90 in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. It's going really well this year.
It really is. There's a lot of people involved. I've heard it's like 7,000 strong across the state or something. Like I said, we're into week 8, yeah. And one of the readings to start the week was from Exodus 21, 12 through 32, and part of it was talking, of course, about the famous, if anyone harms you, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot. And in athletics on this show, Catholic Sports Weekly, when you think about that reading, it seems like that almost applies sometimes in athletics because you go after somebody after they beat you once, you want to get them back. But you kind of have a different take on this reading, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's first of all, it's from a very important part of the book of Exodus, which a lot of people don't ever read. You know, it's this the covenant ceremony, Exodus 19 through 24. Moses is at Mount Sinai. Israelites had just been freed from Egypt, and God is establishing them as his holy people, his priestly nation. And so there's all these different commands that he has in store for them. It's not to be confused with what happens later on in the plains of Moab with the covenant of Deuteronomy that's a little bit different. So this passage in eye for an eye, you know, most of the time we read that and we think, gosh, that seems pretty harsh, or that seems pretty contradictory to what Jesus says. You know, actually, Jesus doesn't contradict it, but he actually transforms it, transcends it. Also in that same passage, we hear about slaves as well. Mm-hmm. And some people are perplexed by that, and they think, man, Israelites had slaves? God allowed them to have slaves? Does this mean God is pro-slavery or something like that? You know, people who have a very cursory reading of sacred scripture often ask those questions. They see things in the Bible, and they think, well, if it's in the Bible, that must mean that God is okay with it, right? So things like slavery or murder or What's the other one? It's always really common. The having multiple wives. You know, yeah. People read these things and they think, oh, well, God was obviously okay with this. The reality is actually it's very different. We always have to avoid the temptation to read the Bible anachronistically, meaning like taking our own modern mindset and imposing it on the days we're reading about. So, you know, especially the book of Exodus. I mean, this took place over 3,000 years ago, so a long time ago, totally different culture. And every time we read those commandments in the Bible, we have to read them alongside of the culture of the time, okay? Mm-hmm. Is this making sense so far, Will?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. I'm getting
it. I feel like I'm just kind of spouting out.
No, no, you're doing great. I'm looking at the clock. We've only got a couple minutes.
Okay, yeah, so you gotta read it. So Will's used to this. I give some really long homilies here at Our Lady of Grace, so he had to expect this.
Yeah, I know that.
But you got to read the
commandments. I only listened to half of it, but go ahead.
Absolutely. So you think about the culture of Exodus at those times. There wasn't a clear judgment on what was supposed to take place when, you know, someone robbed from you, or someone murdered a family member, or someone who took your slave, someone who knocked your eye out. There wasn't a clear expectation, and in fact, you know, the reasonable thing seems to, you know, somebody knocks out your eye, you'll take their eye back. Someone knocks out your tooth, you'll take their tooth back. And in fact, maybe even more reasonably, it seems, and that's not very fair, someone knocks your eye out, and so you get to knock his out, but then you're both without an eye. But he's the one who took your eye out. That doesn't seem all that fair. So a lot of times people would go a step further, you know, let's take both of their eyes out, or let's even put them to death or something like that. And so in that context, you see this commandment from the book of Exodus is actually more lenient and more merciful, saying you can only take out their eye. You can't use more aggression against them. You see, all throughout the Bible, God is calling us to a higher standard. And so at that time, that was a higher standard. And then eventually in the New Testament, as God progressively reveals his will and his commandments, Jesus eventually says, you know, you shouldn't even take their eye out or knock their tooth out either. An even more intense form of mercy, constantly calling us to something higher. And that's exactly what's happening in this passage of Exodus.
And that's what's happening with Exodus 90, is we're called to a greater thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're not in Exodus 90 because we've been breaking the Ten Commandments and we need to get out of mortal sin, all this stuff. No, we're being called to a higher standard, be set apart and be different.
Well, thank you very much. Can you take us out with a real quick blessing?
Absolutely. So may Almighty God bless all of you who are listening to this program, so that you may be brought closer to Christ during this Lenten season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. And that'll do it for this week's Catholic Sports Weekly. Thank you, Father.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.